When you invite me to teach, when the time is at 1 p.m., it is very bad because many people would fall asleep. Teaching in the morning is fresh. We just woke up. The minds are still very awake. After a while, the minds become sleepy. Before, each person would have the mind that's awake and aware. It's very difficult. At first, for the early students of mine, it took many years before they became awake. Students that came later actually started to become awake much sooner. The latecomers actually progressed very fast. At the beginning, the years that I started teaching, it was a lot of arguments before each party would surrender with reasons and logic, not because of the mind, the heart. So it was hard. The people who came later perceived me as a seasoned monk. So the heart gives in, so listen with more respect. So it's a lot easier to absorb. Many people who came earlier saw me when I was still a person living in the world. It wasn't much respect. So it's not very unusual that my old students took much longer to make progress. It didn't take me that long. But the students that came later progressed much faster. Some students are very young. The young priest, 15 years old, start meditating. The world disappear, the body disappear. It's only a mind, the mind staying awake. The mind becomes very concentrated. The thoughts disappear. Just the feelings remain. New monks, there are many of them, even after very few years in the monkhood, became very awake. See the five aggregates working without any intention. Why does it take some person to make progress? Most of the times it's because you spend too much time thinking. When you want to understand Dhamma from thinking, you will never understand. Thinking and logic doesn't allow you to understand it. Dhamma has to be understood, not because of thinking, it has to be seen. Vipassana, or the insights, cannot be achieved through the thoughts. It means seeing. Vipassana means see. Vi means clear. So vipassana simply means see clearly. Some people are used to studying through reading and listening or thinking because you believe that the way to understand things has to be learned that way. Seeing is like doing research. It's like a field research. You have to go and see the real thing to see what it is like. For example, if you would like to understand what the Thai people think about the current government, the current prime minister. You cannot just sit there and think about it. You have to go down to the field and interview people just to see different parts, different provinces, to see how people feel about the government. If you sit in the office and just imagine and think about it, it could be right or wrong. To practice is the same thing. You have to go into the field and practice in order to see the truth about the physical and mind of yourself. It's about seeing the truth about your body and mind. When you see the truth, your mind become tired of this. When you're tired of this, then you start to release the self. Chat means birth. When your mind's no longer holding on to the cause of birth, then you will not be reborn again. This is coming only from when you see the truth. It cannot be thought about. It cannot be contemplated. It's the thoughts that are actually blocking the truth. Just like some people may think that you think about yourself as being very beautiful. You feel very beautiful. You look in the mirror, you feel that you're very beautiful. Your eyelashes are very beautiful, even though other parts of the body have already aged. But other people look at you as an old lady with very wrinkled skin. If your thoughts keep thinking about you being very beautiful and very young, however, the truth is not that. The truth has to be seen. Your thoughts are not reliable. You have to go and see the truth. So in order to practice, you have to understand and know the phenomena. If you want to know the truth about the body and mind, you have to see the truth about the body and mind. When you see the phenomena that arises in your body and mind, happiness, sufferings, greed, anger, delusion, when you see it as they are. Sati allows you to observe it truly. And the wisdom allows you to understand the truth about these phenomena that is subject to the three characteristics. Sati allows you to observe these phenomena. For example, breathing in, you are aware of your breathing in. Your body is breathing in. Your sati allows you to understand breathing. Anapanasati is a practice of being mindful of your breathing. When you're walking, when you're lying down, when your sati is aware of your body that is moving around, stand, sit, or lie down, your sati is aware of your body movements. And then your wisdom would allow you to see that these are not permanent. Everything is impermanent. You cannot actually force or order your body to be that way. Everything is only temporary. Happiness and sufferings arise. These are abstract, intangible. The new generations do not understand the term namatam, something that's intangible, something that's abstract. Because the language that is being used with the children nowadays seem to differ from it used to be in the past. The language that's being used with the young people nowadays, a lot of people a lot of times older people cannot understand at all. The language that he uses is actually very different from the languages that other monks use. Just because the languages of other priests or monks use are actually the language from King Rama V. It's an old language. It's the archaic language. So a lot of studies of this group is actually based upon the old language, so it's very hard to understand. The language in the scriptures is very hard to understand. So the language that I use for teaching the younger generation becomes problematic because the children nowadays may have difficulty to understand. Where was I? Now that we're talking about the children, I forgot where I was. Okay, abstract. Coming back to Namatam. A lot of children nowadays don't understand the word namatam, which simply means something that's intangible, something abstract. The scripts that even the children nowadays use are even something that's being invented. When I go and teach outside, sometimes I make a stop in the restroom and I get to see a lot of different graffitis that use different, very different language. Abstract, it's something that doesn't have the shape, the form, the body. Namatam. It's happiness, sufferings, wholesomeness and unwholesomeness. Being aware that these abstract qualities can also be impermanent. It's also being forced to change all the time. And it's non-self. So it's a three characteristics. Impermanence means there used to be and it could disappear. Tukkhang means something that exists right now are being forced to disappear. Anatta means something, the existence of something is subject to the cause, is not subject to anybody's control. When the cause remains, it exists. When there's the cause is no longer there, it will disappear. So teaching the children nowadays, we have to translate every single word about the three characteristics. He has to find a new language, new words, new vocabulary in order to explain the concepts it used to be. Sometimes we have to go back and see other languages, for example in English, in order to understand the meaning and the of the concepts something better. Keep practicing, have sati. To be mindful, be aware of your body and mind. Have the wisdom to see the three characteristics of the body and mind. If you observe it impartially, you will start to see the three characteristics clearly. But if your sati is aware of the body and mind, and then you start thinking, you will start to see that, hey, it's still there. It's still not there. It doesn't disappear because your thoughts will block you to see the three characteristics. If you think too much, you wouldn't even be able to observe the body and mind. Because when you think, it's a fabrication of the mind. In order to cultivate wisdom, you have to be mindful of the true, the natural body and mind. For example, fire is hot. Dogs, when they touch a fire, it's hot. Fire is real. Paramattham means it's real. Your thoughts are not the base for understanding, for practicing vipassana. To cultivate wisdom, you have to see the nature of the body and mind. By nature, your mind's only capable of being aware of one thing at a time. So you have to practice to escape from your thoughts and come back to the reality, to the truth. But how do we do that? We have to get out of your thoughts, then you cannot be delusioned by your thoughts. When you're thinking, just be aware that your minds start to wander out into your thoughts. When you know that when your mind is aware that you are thinking, then you will be aware that you're thinking. Then you'll be able to be mindful of the actual movements or the phenomena of the body and mind. But you cannot stop yourself from thinking because you're not a tree, you're not a stone. Even dogs can think. Therefore, you will still think. But when you think, be mindful, be aware that you are thinking. The moment you realize that you're thinking, when you're aware that you're thinking, the clear observer would become a stable observer and see the reality, the truth of the body and mind. Your thoughts are like a rat coming out of the holes. Whenever it comes out, it sneaks out. A lot of people feel like it rises from in the middle of your chest. It's actually, it rises from emptiness. There is no physical position of where your thoughts are coming from, something from neutral, something, some emptiness. When rats are running out of the hole, your sati is like a cat. You have to see that the rat's coming out and you have to catch it. And then your thoughts will disappear, just like a cat could catch a rat or a mouse. So now you are thinking, can you feel it? You're thinking again, can you feel it? When you become aware that you're thinking, the mind becomes silent, quiet for a moment, and then you're thinking again. Are you thinking again? Can you see the gap in between the moment that it stops? For an instant, observe yourself to see whether you can see that the moment you realize that you're thinking, when you're aware of your thinking, there's a small gap, an instantaneous gap between your thoughts. This instantaneous gap between the thoughts, between the moment you realize that you are thinking and then the thinking stops. When you do it frequently, these tiny little gaps can happen very frequently the more you do it. It could be so many of them that throughout the whole day, there could be so many of these gaps. And you see, it rises and falls. so many times during the day. Just like fluorescent light, it's actually fickle, you know, it turns on and off, but in a very high frequency. So you actually think that the light is on all the time. It's actually on and off and on and off at a very high frequency that you feel that it is continuous. So the saying with the archaic language would say, the unenlightened people who have never listened to Dhamma can actually see that your body is not yourself. However, the unenlightened one cannot observe that your mind is not yourself. It's just because the frequency that the mind arises and falls is the frequency is so high that you believe that it's continuous. So when you the frequency that it arises and falls, sometimes when you're lost in thoughts for a long time, you felt that it's actually one whole incident. Actually, every instant, it actually rises and falls. But sometimes it happens in the same idea for quite a while, and you start to think about it as one continuous thought. But in fact, everything is changing all the time. For example, someone is listening to Luang Pu Sim teaching, and then one moment he thinks that, oh, this is a wonderful teaching. And then you start thinking about, wow, this is good. And then the next moment the thoughts come and, oh, too bad, my daughter is in America, so she doesn't get to listen to this. So you have these thoughts inside your mind, but Luang Pu Sim has very good ears. Even it's in your mind, he can hear it. So then suddenly Luang Pu Sim said, this is silly. You are sitting here in Chiang Mai listening to my teaching, but your mind is somewhere else in America. So the person is very surprised that, wow, how did he know? And then your minds are changing again now. Your mind's surprised and thinking about, how did he know? So every instant, your thoughts just moving to a new topic, a new subject, and new ideas all the time. But can you stop it? You cannot stop it. You cannot force it. Don't try to change it. When your mind starts to think, wander up to your thoughts, it is a continuum. You don't see the change. So be mindful that you become aware that you're thinking. The first time that you were aware that you're thinking, and you see that gap, and then the next moment you hear, you can see your thought thinking again. With this separation, with these gaps in between your thoughts, you will realize it's actually your mind, a different arises and fall for each time that you have sati, realizing that you're thinking. The stable observer is to be mindful that the thinking are not the same one. There's so many moments that the thoughts arises and falls. So the wholesomeness and the unwholesomeness actually arises at the same time, and you start thinking. You think about certain things and then you become happy. But if you are unaware of all this, you stay delusional all the time. Sometimes when you think about it for a certain amount of time, and then your mind start to feel happy, be aware that you're happy. Sometimes the unwholesomeness arises after certain thinking. For example, when we're driving and someone cuts in front of you, please notice that when someone cuts in front of you, you observe it and then you think about it. That's when you become angry. That's when the anger arises. That's when the wholesome unwholesomeness arises in your mind. Without the thinking, the phenomena doesn't arise in your mind in terms of the unwholesomeness. When your mind becomes aware of this phenomena, that your eyes see it, and then your mind see that your eyes see it, and then your mind start thinking, and then that's when you realize that these are two separate things. And not only you think about the person cuts in front of you, and then you start to judge them as though that they are right or wrong, and then the phenomena arises as the emotions. Because you're happy, you're unhappy, you like or you don't like, so the defilement arises after the thoughts. If your mind is quick enough to be aware of this, and then you see that the moment it's thinking, understand what it's thinking about, then there's no fabrication further into greed or hatred, anger or delusion, happiness, unhappiness. But when your mind realizes this, then also this fabrication would also disappear. So then this defilement doesn't stay and consume you for a very long time. When your mind starts thinking, you cannot choose whether the defilements that arise would be a wholesome or unwholesome one, whether you would be happy or unhappy. You cannot control which one would happen. But the key is to have these gaps in your awareness that separate between your thinking, the defilements arising. So santati means the moment after, so make sure you become mindful of this at the moment, right after it happens. It sounds difficult, but it's actually not that difficult. You will realize that the moment, this moment you are thinking, and the moment you become aware, become mindful of your thinking. Or when you overfocus on something, then be mindful that you're overfocusing on something. And then your mindfulness would become awake, and you start to have the stable observer. So the key is to really, really understand that your mind is wandering out to your thoughts. So if you have a mantra, say putto, putto, and then your mind starts to wander away from putto. Putto is another kind of thought. You intentionally think about putto, but then your mind escapes to something else, then you be aware that your mind's thinking about something else. For example, you may think why that person likes to organize a course. Does she want to run for an office? Well, usually politicians are very corrupt people. So see, you could see your mind just wanders out and start to think about many things. The moment your mind moves into any phenomena, or even your mind start to focus or be aware of your breathing, you could see the movements of your mind. Just observe it. Then over time, your mind will become a stable observer, awake, lively. Don't try to control it. Don't try to contain it. If you try to control your mind or contain your mind, you start to feel very suffocated. as it wanders out, just be aware. As you practice more and more, as your mind starts to wander out, you just start to become aware of it, and the frequency will become higher and higher. Most people, the mind wanders out only once. It's just basically throughout the whole day, you're not even aware or mindful of these movements of the mind at all. At first, you may become aware of your thought once, and then 7-8 hours later, you become aware again. Then you may start to have this realization that your mind realizes it wanders out twice a day. As you practice more and more, it will become more and more frequent. So the lost mind is, there's an equation, the lost mind is equal to the mindful, the awake, aware mind plus one. So have a home base as an anchor, and then be mindful, be aware that your mind wanders out. The more you become aware of these wanders, you're going to become more awake. Everything arises and falls. The mind, there is not only one mind. The happy mind, the sad mind, the aware, the conscious mind, and the unconscious mind, they're all different minds. All kinds of minds arises and fall. Everything that arises and fall, there's no need to be a good person. Just observe the reality, the truth. So next, please go have your meal and observe your mind when you're eating. You may have a mind of bread.